Honesty, delivered in the right way, is powerful. The Bible calls it speaking the truth in love. That's our topic today with Dr. Wilton. Welcome to this edition of The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author, evangelist, seminary professor, and so much more. Today, as he opens the book of Daniel, we're still in the study on Daniel. He's talking about the sovereignty of God and the sins of a son, and in particular, honest communication that helps us grow in our faith. As we dive in, know that we're here for you. Love to pray with you right now as we kick off the program. Our number is 866-899-WORD. Jot it down, store it in your cell, 866-899-9673. We'll always connect you with one of us, happy to talk or listen or pray and connect you with great resources. Or meet us online at tewonline.org. Now, Dr. Don Wilton.
I'm going to speak on the subject of how to speak the truth in love. How to speak the truth in love. Now, this is a word for parents, for educators, for grandparents, for politicians who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, for men and women, for pastors, for teachers, for Sunday school workers. This is a very, very critically important dynamic in our hearts and lives today. Truth is something that we have to deal with, because truth is put in place by God Himself. The question is, how do we speak that truth in love? Now, we have a king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. And I'm going to remind you that in the life of Nebuchadnezzar, we have a man who is all powerful. Nebuchadnezzar is a man who rules with an iron rod. Nobody can compare to Nebuchadnezzar. He is the king of all kings. I've heard some preachers call him Goldfinger, because he ruled over Babylon, the gold center of the world. And Nebuchadnezzar was a man who, when he spoke, people acted. When he decreed, people jumped. If Nebuchadnezzar wanted to execute somebody, he executed them. If he wanted to promote somebody, he promoted them. And the result was that there were literally hundreds of thousands of people who became his subjects. There are many of us like that today. We don't live in a dictatorship like that. Just as a matter of interest, there are many people in the world who do live in a dictatorship. There are many people who have no control over their own destiny. But not in the United States of America. We have, quote unquote, the power of the ballot box. We don't live under an autocrat or a dictator. We don't live under someone who rules over us and hands down edicts. But at the same time, the subtlety of the undermining of truth in any society is a reality that all believers have to deal with, without exception. I think that I may say to you that even this morning, as I preached on the Teen Commandments, we basically were looking at what truth is compared to what the world has determined truth is. And the question is this: how do we determine to share what is right and proper in the sight of God, and how do we endeavor to teach truth in love to our fellow man? In chapter 4, we're going to find an incredible tug of war that takes place. On the one hand, there is Nebuchadnezzar, a human being, a man who is in charge, a man who has everything that opens and shuts, has everything at his fingertips. But on the other hand, we have God, who is sovereign. Now, the key verse in chapter 4 is going to be found in verse 37. The key verse in the whole of chapter 4 is going to be found in verse 37. And I want you to repeat verse 37 after me. I'm going to read a few phrases. I want you to repeat it out loud after me together. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of Heaven, because everything he does is right and all of his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. Now, that is a remarkable verse. Would you believe me if I told you that that was King Nebuchadnezzar speaking? I've entitled this overall theme, The Conversion of the King. King Nebuchadnezzar, the same man who has caused so much destruction, who has decreed so much falsehood, who has undermined truth, has finally come to the point at which he recognizes the King of Heaven, because everything the King of Heaven does is right, because everything that the King of Heaven does is just. He praises and exalts him, and then against all confounding of all the critics, this is the same man who says, those who walk in pride, God alone is able to humble. We find here in chapter 4 an incredible tug of war that takes place in the life of King Nebuchadnezzar. And this tug of war went all the way back into chapter 1. In chapter 1, Nebuchadnezzar is stunned and shocked at what is taking place in the life of these young believers. In chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar acknowledges the God of heaven in verse 47. In chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar builds a statue to himself and then ends up and praises God. And in chapter 4, God finally deals with Nebuchadnezzar. Now, I'm going to skip all the way over to the interpretation of the second dream of Nebuchadnezzar. I do want to read to you what the dream was about to put this into context. So I'm going to begin at verse 4 of chapter 4. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, contented and prosperous. I had a dream that made me afraid. As I was lying in my bed, the images and visions that passed through my mind terrified me. So I commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be brought before me to interpret the dream for me. When the magicians, the enchanters, astrologers, and diviners came, I told them the dream, but they could not interpret it for me. Finally, Daniel came into my presence, and I told him the dream. He is called Belteshazzar, after the name of my God, and the spirit of the holy gods is in him. I said, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no mystery is too difficult for you. Here is my dream. Interpret it for me. This is the dream. There are these visions I saw while lying in bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruit abundant, and on it was food for all. Under it, the beasts of the field found shelter, and the birds of the air lived in its branches. From it, every creature was fed. In the visions I saw, while lying in my bed, I looked, and there before me was a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven. By the way, if you've ever wondered where heaven is, there's another passage. Heaven is up. It's right above us, I'll guarantee you, because of Scripture. He called in a loud voice, cut down the tree and trim off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from under it and the birds from its branches. But let the stump and its roots, bound with iron and bronze, remain in the ground in the grass of the field. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal till 7 times pass by for him. The decision is announced by messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict, so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of men. This is the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belteshazzar, tell me what it means, for none of the wise men in my kingdom can interpret it for me, but you can, because the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Then Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. So the king said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its meaning alarm you. Belteshazzar answered, my lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries. The tree you saw, which grew large and strong with its top touching the sky, visible to the whole earth, with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing food for all, giving shelter to the beasts of the field and having nesting places in its branches for the birds of the air. You, O king, are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky. Your dominion extends to the distant parts of the earth. You, O king, saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump, bound with iron and bronze in the grass of the field, while its roots remain in the ground. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live like the wild animals until seven times pass for him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree the Most High has issued against my lord the king. You will be driven away from people. You will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle and be drenched with the dew of heaven. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. The command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue.
The more we apply God's truth, God's encouraging word to our life and our heart, the more we become like Christ, the greater our heart becomes a tool in God's hands. Forgive this interruption. We'll be back with the complete message, The Sovereignty of God and the Sins of a Son. That's the message today from Dr. Wilton in just a moment. But Dr. Don insists I interrupt so that you know we can pray with you. We stand ready not to just encourage you with the teaching of God's Word, but to encourage you with resources that will help you spend time on a daily basis in God's Word, whether it be the daily free Bible guide we'll put in your hands if you call 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or if you meet us online at tewonline.org, you can sign up for the free email, and you'll get that email from Dr. Wilton every single day. We believe in this consistency of God's Word and how it will change the genuineness of our heart in great ways together. So let's dive back into today's message. At the end of the program, yes, I will give you more information on the Jesus in Me. Me have been texting about this all the time. Anne Graham Lott's book, Jesus in Me. You can see the details on our website at tewonline.org. Full details before the broadcast is over. But now let's get back to Doc's teaching. This is Dr. Don Wilton.
Now, folks, that's a long passage to read, and I needed to read that to you because it's very difficult to understand the context in which this is said. All I want to share with you tonight is simply this. Nebuchadnezzar dreamed a dream once again. He's engaged in this tussle with God. God brings Belteshazzar, otherwise known as Daniel, into his presence, and gives to Daniel the opportunity of speaking the truth in love to Nebuchadnezzar, the same king who has the capacity to execute him, same king who has the capacity to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace, the same king who, when we see later on, is going to throw Daniel into the lion's den, at least it was his son. We know that there is a pattern here that is set up of antagonism against the sovereign will of God. And so I want to just share with you tonight some brief thoughts about how to speak the truth in love. Let's develop an acrostic. First of all, T. Think it over. Think it over. You know, one of the greatest problems that I have is that I don't think things over enough. Sometimes when we know that something is right, we are too quick to speak before we've thought it through and presented it to God. So that even though we are saying something that is right, because we haven't thought it over, no matter how right it is, it still comes out wrong. Isn't that just like us? Isn't that just like human beings today? Isn't that just classic? Sometimes we know that what we want to say is correct, but because we don't, as it were, catch our breath and think things over, as moms and as dads, as politicians, as preachers, as teachers, we end up saying the truth, but because we haven't thought it over, we end up saying the truth in the wrong way and we end up destroying what we intended to say to begin with. Think it over. Verse 19 tells us that Belteshazzar, or Daniel, was greatly perplexed for a time. What he had to say terrified him. Why did it terrify him? Well, I think the answer is quite simple, because he realized he was dealing with Nebuchadnezzar. He realized that he had the truth to say, but he realized that the truth was going to be so direct, it was going to be so straightforward that if it was not said in love, that he would end up the same way that Nebuchadnezzar intended for Daniel's three friends to end up. R, reveal your heart. Reveal your heart. Folks, listen. As moms and dads, as parents, as pastors, as ministers, one of the greatest assets that God has given to you is the genuineness of your own heart. Don't run away from your heart. Many things in life are not taught, they are caught. Many things in life are not said, they are experienced. There are many times in life that it's not what you say that is going to make a difference. It's how you say it that's going to make a difference. Sometimes you may be having problem with your wife or with your husband, and you seem to be butting heads, and there seems to be a deterioration in your marriage, and you cannot speak to each other. And many times in that relationship, it's not that you are wrong or she is wrong or he is wrong. It's not in what you're saying to one another. It's how you're saying it to one another. You'll never get the truth through if you don't reveal your heart. And you will never reveal your heart if you don't take time out to think about it. That's my greatest challenge in the world, because I have a tendency to speak. Every now and again, I have a tendency from time to time to have an opinion about certain things. And what I have to constantly ask God to do for me, whether I'm in a committee meeting, or whether I'm meeting with Spartanburg County Foundation, or whether I'm talking to businessmen, or whether I'm in my home, what I have to do constantly, and many times I do a very poor job of that, I've got to constantly ask God to help me as a father, as a husband, as a teacher, as a pastor, as a friend. When we go into ministers' meetings, there are many times we'll have an issue come up in amongst us, and we're just brothers and sisters, and it's wonderful. And there comes a time when, as pastor, I need to say whatever it is that needs to be said. I need to just stop, think about it, and then I need to speak from my heart. I need to speak from my heart. You see, my brother and sister, you can disagree, but you need to disagree without being disagreeable. You see, if we do not reveal our hearts in speaking the truth, It's going to be the disagreeableness with which we speak that is going to end up distorting what we say. Have you ever met someone who's got a lot of good ideas, but nobody ever wants to listen to them? Now, we're asking a very personal question here. Maybe there's someone here tonight, and it seems you've got wonderful ideas, but nobody wants to listen to you. Have you ever asked yourself why? Number one, maybe because you don't take time before you speak. And number two, because you are not asking God to allow you to reveal your heart. Your heart is the pulse of your preciousness. It is the fountainhead of the truth that God lays in your being. It is the conviction of your soul. Now, folks, I have from time to time, even in our church, I've had people come up to me and say something to me, and I don't want to listen. Now, I don't let on, I don't want to listen. I don't want to listen. There have been other times people have come up to me and said exactly the same thing. And I'm all ears and eyes. I want to listen to every word. Well, what's the difference? Brother, you come up to me or I come up to you and we breathe threatenings and slaughter over one another and we speak from a heart that is not in tune with God. It doesn't matter how right you are, nobody's going to listen. Now, the same applies in our parenting. Sometimes as moms and dads, why we struggle with our parenting is because when we speak and when we act, we are acting like King Nebuchadnezzar, not like Daniel. We're not saying something in love, and we're not saying the truth from hearts that are in tune with Almighty God. So truth, we're talking about how to speak the truth in love. T, think it over. R, reveal your heart. U, understand their position. You notice here in verses 20 through 23, it's actually an amazing thing here, but Daniel, even though he's about to lower the boom on Nebuchadnezzar, it's amazing how he has the... Look at verse 22. You, O king, are that tree. You have become great and strong. Now, some people may say this is patronizing. No, it isn't. I think he was stating a fact. By the way, never ever stop elevating, praising, lifting up other people. Be an encourager. One of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard in my life is that you and I should not be praising one another. You go and tell a parent not to praise their children. You're going to tell me never to encourage and to uplift and to find the good things in my sons and my daughter and to capitalize and to work on that and to elevate that. My job as a parent is to find out what they're good at and to praise them in that and to elevate them and to make them feel good. My job is not to break them down. Well, here comes Daniel, and God's given him a word upon his heart, and he's about to lower the boom on Nebuchadnezzar. And before he says a word about the truth, he finds something that he can say, listen to this, that is winsome. Folks, listen to me. In the church today, one of the greatest problems with modern-day Christendom is that there are two extremes. There are some people who just believe in absolute license and everything goes. And then on the other side, there are those religious zealots and right-wing fundamentalists who believe that I'm going to get in your face. And if you don't listen to me, you're going to go to a devil's hell and I don't care what happens to you. That's not going to win this world to Christ. I believe that there are more people in America today who are put off the love of Jesus Christ by Christian men and women than by anything else. Why? Because they do not capitalize on speaking the truth in love, on taking time to think, on revealing their heart, and then coming to a basic understanding of the position of the people to whom they are about to speak. First Baptist Church, listen to me. We need to become masters of understanding the lost world that we are ministering to. The day in this church that we say, oh no, we don't do that, is the day we need to close this church's doors. I'm so grateful Eddie Robertson had the vision concerning baseball fields. Folks, I mean, goodness me, come on now, give us a break. Who needs baseball fields? But you know what? This church said, we're not getting baseball fields for baseball fields. We're getting baseball fields because people love baseball. And if people love baseball, they're going to come and play baseball. And guess when they come and play baseball, we're going to be able to show them the love of the Lord Jesus Christ so that when it comes to Thursday night this past week, we have over 200 public decisions for Jesus Christ. That's understanding their position. That's getting down to where it counts. And this man, Daniel, before he does a thing, he understands his position, Nebuchadnezzar. He gets in there. He becomes a master of human personality. He wins people over. He is winsome in what he does. He doesn't alienate and confront and get in the face and set himself up on a pedestal. He's about to speak the truth in love.
In the midst of life's changes and losses, we each need a friend, a confidant, someone who will come alongside us and share every step of our journey, someone who will listen to us, advocate for us, and comfort us, someone we can trust. This month, for your gift of support to the Encouraging Word, we will send you the inspiring book, Jesus and Me by Anne Graham Lotz. In Jesus and Me, Lotz draws on biblical knowledge and personal stories, including her recent cancer diagnosis, to help us understand the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Call us at 866-899-9673 to request your copy of Jesus and Me today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry, sharing God's truth around the world. Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening today.
God has spoken to you, hasn't He? And you're ready to give your heart to Jesus. I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on a cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much.
Our time's gone for now, but we're staying connected 24 hours a day at 866-899-93 or online at tewonline.org.
Even though we appreciate our own church very much, we also appreciate listening to the Encouraging Word broadcast each week. We really enjoy the preaching, and we listen because his preaching is biblically based and very true to the Word. It also challenges us in our daily life with Christ.